Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to the Talking Movies, Pictures, Movies show. My name's Andy Price.
My name's Tim Goodings. Now, I've got to start very quickly. So this is already, I'm going to start by talking about something that's not directly related to movies, but it does impact them in terms of the wider landscape of gender politics.
Okay.
And there was a movie of it anyway, and that was in the 90s, so it does count. So they've made Doctor Who a woman.
Oh, right, okay. Doctor We're talking about that, are we?
Yeah, Doctor Who's now a woman.
Yeah, no, I saw, yeah.
Right? How do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, I have my concerns.
Yeah. Well, good.
But I mean,
this is the place to air them.
Well, is it though? Because this is a movies podcast and, you know, we've got to do Marvel news.
There was a movie of Doctor Who and he was a man and that's why it was good.
Okay.
And they could do another one if they wanted to, and actually they screened some of the other episodes in the movie theatre.
Yeah.
And some of the people in them have probably been in movies.
All right, fine. Well, we'll talk about this after we do Marvel news.
We're not doing Marvel news. We've got to talk about this.
Whoa.
Now.
Whoa.
This is important, Andy. This is more important than fucking Marvel or news about them.
What?
Name a single character from any Marvels.
Wasp Man.
That's changed gender while they're in making it onto the screen. Or in the middle of the run. Same character.
I don't know. I mean, Deadpool was genderless, wasn't he?
So doesn't count.
Same thing.
Yeah,
isn't it?
It's always been genderless. Yeah. It's the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't do it.
All right. Okay.
This episode is about gender politics.
Fine. Okay. Fuck Marvel news. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Fuck Marvel news.
All right. It's gone. Fuck it. It's gone.
That's it. You can't afford to do Marvel news now because it would steal focus from this important issue. Doctor Who.
Yeah.
They cast a woman, Andy.
Can you explain to the listeners why they might do such a thing?
Right. It's because it's the fucking snowflake, millennial, political correctness generation.
iPhones.
And...
Paddling pools. On a rooftop bar.
On a rooftop. And you've got tattoos all over you.
And mojito daiquiris.
Mojitos.
Knocking them back.
You've got these weird contact lenses in. So you've got like an owl or something.
Virtual reality.
I'm actually an animal. I'm one with nature. And you don't eat meat.
Breast implants.
Yeah, breast implants on your shoulders.
Butt implants.
Everywhere. And everything's sexualized and under-sexualized at the same time.
21st century. No
you
thanks.
You fucking snowflakes. And this is what they're doing with Doctor Who, is they're like, oh, it doesn't matter what gender he is. Well, I mean, you just heard yourself say he, so
I heard
you're
it.
Talking bullshit there.
And I heard you say it, and you're also it. A
and
he.
And both of us are, even.
This is the world we live in.
And I just think it's absolute shit, because Doctor Who is the Doctor, and he is an alien.
Women right? are nurses, doctors are doctors. Doctor Who?
Is man.
And Doctor Who man.
Has anyone ever seen Doctor Who, Andy? Yes, all the people that watch it. That includes me. Have any of them been a woman? Nope. All men.
Yeah.
So they've obviously made a mistake here because they think that it can be a woman.
I think that someone's probably going to get fired for this. It's like when they do...
Well, I'll tell you who should be fired.
Who?
The woman doctor.
Ah.
Fire her for it.
Yeah, and who should they employ?
Man doctor.
Exactly.
But It's bad because women are different to men.
Yeah.
The Doctor is an alien with two hearts.
Yeah.
And
he's not a woman with two hearts.
No, exactly. The reason it's a good show, Andy, is because he is intelligent. He is adventurous. He is roguish. He is sort of funny and kind of weird. And those are exclusively masculine traits. You can't have a woman that does those things. And because he stole a box, women don't steal.
Apart from Amelia Earhart, but she died.
She died.
Didn't do it well. Very, well.
Where is she now?
I mean, she failed.
Exactly. And it's the companion's woman. And so you can't do that.
No.
Because then it's two women. It's got to be a man and woman. Because well, that's what companion is. Like if you get a dog, it has to be the opposite gender to you.
It's Adam and Eve, not Adam, Eve and Steve.
Doctor.
Steve.
Bill and nurse.
Heaven.
That's why they made the companion called Bill, even though she's a girl.
Ah.
Confuse people.
Exactly.
They go, oh, they she's a man.
Under the radar.
But doctor, and they go, oh, that's a woman. But she's a man because she's called Bill, so it's okay. No, it's not okay.
Do you reckon this is gonna have an impact on movies as well?
Right, it might, and they
because that's what we're worried about, really. Yeah, I mean, TV can go fuck itself. Like, we don't really care, but the problem is this might affect the real creative industry, which is movies.
It will spread, and it will start infecting all of the movies, and all the movies
like a woman's disease.
Women's disease. All the people, all the men that make movies will go, oh, now everything's woman, and they make everything for women.
Yeah,
not just half or even less of things. Suddenly, everything's all about women's hood, and I just think it's
Wonder Man
shit.
Will be out of a job.
What I want to do, Andy, is I just want to prove to the listeners that there is bullshit, that it's a bad idea
right.
to suddenly change the character's gender.
Yeah,
and I think we should do the rest of this podcast. As if we recast ourselves as women.
That's a great idea.
Right? And then they'll see that you can't do that.
This will be scientific.
It doesn't work.
It's an experiment.
Yeah, exactly. We're showing them what happens when shit goes girl.
Yeah.
And I'll count us down.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, then, what's your name going to be?
Probably Tim, still.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Right, fine.
Because I'm scared of getting too into it. So
yeah, fine.
And what about you?
Well, I'm Method, so I'll be Andy, but with an I.
Right, okay. Yeah. And am I pronouncing that the same?
It's up to you, to be honest. There's a few pronunciations.
If I can remember. Yeah. So I'll give us a countdown, and then we'll be women.
We'll just do our regular news
section.
We'll
do some movie news as women, and then you'll fucking see, listener, what happens and how ruinous it is. And this will be a nice preview for what's going to happen to the Doctor Who when it comes back. And he is now a she.
The idea is they'll listen
to
this.
Who is now a you, and you are a woman.
They'll figure out they've made a bad decision and, you know, it'll be reversed. Chris Marshall will be there come September.
I'll count us down. Three. Well, should I start at three or higher than that, even give us more time?
I reckon 4.5.
Yep. 4, 3, 2, 1, women.
Oh, I hate it already. Okay.
Oh, that was too manly.
Yeah. All right. Do you want to do the first news story?
No, you can go first.
Okay, thank you. Well, listeners, it's actually been quite a sad week in many ways. The actor Martin Landau has died at 89. Obviously, a lot of people know him for his long career across film and television. You know, he won a Oscar for his role in Ed Wood. He was in Mission Impossible. He even won maybe won an Emmy for a recurring role in Entourage, which was a late stage career. But he was
well received program.
Exactly. He's a well loved actor. At the age of 89 as well. Did you know he was still teaching? He was the co-artistic director of the Hollywood branch of the Actors Studio.
Oh wow!
Do you know that?
No.
I was listening to a podcast recently, another one, WTF with Marc Maron. He actually interviewed him.
Yeah.
And they talked about like his methods and his history. He started off as a cartoonist back in, I think it was the 50s maybe, and then he was quite into Charlie Chaplin, so he decided to try out, you know, a career as a movie actor. And he's just been incredibly giving with his time and his experience and just really helping a lot of actors go. So I mean, I'm sad to see him go. Great actor, will be missed. So
rest,
I think
rest
that's
in peace.
Probably our lead story this week.
Yeah, that's very, very sad. Martin Landau.
Mm.
Yeah, is it right if I just
go ahead, some more movies?
So just a very brief little piece about sort of box office and everything. Obviously, the new film in the Planet of the Apes franchise has recently released, War for the Planet of the Apes, which is the third in the prequel trilogy. It's doing very well. Currently number one at the US box office. Has just beaten out Spider-Man Homecoming, which was doing very well as well. But that's just now Planet of the Apes has just edged in front. And I really think it's an interesting story, the whole way that Hollywood is obviously constantly criticised for prequels, sequels, remakes, and this is obviously
as it should be.
Prequel trilogy, and there's really no reason that it should have been any good, but the critical reaction to all three of the films so far has been very positive. They've been very interesting, heartfelt stories, and if you look at the way that they're kind of tackling the whole idea of a Planet of the Apes, it sounds absurd, but actually it's talking about what makes us human. You know, the idea of humanity, evolution, obviously, in there a little bit as well.
It's one of those films that kind of makes you think a little bit more. Like, so you get these franchises that come along and it's kind of very repetitive, whereas with the Planet of the Apes, they're really kind of asking us to think about ourselves, think about the way we act, the way we behave.
It's a blockbuster with a little bit of intelligence behind it.
And that's what we want from movies.
It's that Christopher Nolan is generally known for, and it's something that I think we'll be seeing. I think there's definitely a call for that sort of thing, especially in the summer season when you normally get CGI fest. Don't really like CGI.
Nah.
No,
it's overused. I think
effects. And
directors are relying on it.
War for the Planet of the Apes uses CGI a lot, and that's understandable because the alternative is what we saw with Tim Burton's version of Planet of the Apes, where it was strange prosthetics, and it just seems, you know, a little bit weird. The kind of almost uncanny valley where he's got like humanoid apes that look really similar to humans, and it's quite confusing. But yeah, it's just, if you look at the previous films, Rise of the Planet of the Apes was a very good film. James Franco put an excellent performance. The whole connection with him and Caesar is like a father-son bond, in the same with him and John Lithgow's character, that whole idea of his father losing his memory. Very enjoyable story. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes as well. I like they're changing the lead actor for each installment as well, and keeping that actually the ape is the main character running through. And gave Tom Felton a little bit of a second bump in his career after he finished Harry Potter. He was very good in Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Lovely. War of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
And I think
I haven't seen it yet, but I'm hoping to.
Oh, great. Yeah.
It looks very good. I'm excited about it.
Lovely. All right. Well, that's our movie news section for this week.
Okay. That's been news.
And
in a moment, we'll be doing the interview with Jake Lambert. And then just after that, we'll have a list of questions.
Sorry, I couldn't keep that up. That was
fucking hell. There you go, listeners. So that's I didn't count us back in, but that's what the sort of shit you get.
I almost threw up.
So we're back to being men now.
I'm warm.
Warm. You can feel the fucking just
very
repressing
warm.
The testosterone there. What the kind of
I have
shit?
To get a cold compress.
Sort of shit.
Very warm.
Movie podcast would that be where we
nauseous.
we just talk about things like that have happened and about them. And what it is, without stumbling over our words,
dizzy as well,
and just like why would you even want that when you can have this when we talk about movies that are
gonna have to have a lie down
from Cinema Blend, and even because what were you looking at then?
Well, where we got the movie news from this week was we went straight to the source. You know, I always explain that Cinema Blend is the movie news for like the Reuters for movies. Tim doesn't know what it is, but I know what it means. But the point is, we decided to just go straight to the source, go to Reuters, and that's the problem.
Straight to the source.
Because it was boring.
Sort of cut
it
out
was
the middle,
bland.
Man.
There was no information at all. Yeah. It was bare bones. Absolute bollocks.
And you just get this just straight information and facts delivered in a kind of very dry, informative manner. And it's just like, is that even a podcast? Is that even a movie podcast?
No, that's
we just talk about movie
talking.
News. No. And I'm worried this is the sort of shit we're going to get when we get Lady Doctor Who, and she'll just be like, oh, a Dalek is this, and explain what's happening.
Bloody talking
and then,
all the time. This isn't the talking movies, pictures, movie show.
It's the movies, pictures, movies
exactly.
show.
It's the squawking movies, pictures, movie show.
And she would just be and then here's a plot point, and then dialogue, explaining feelings or something, and expressing emotion, and then something happens in the story, and spurred on by character drives.
Yeah.
And it's just like, what is that even? When you've got now a man with a fucking screwdriver made of noise and he presses it and things blow up. And he travels through space, Andy. Where's she going to be?
Well, not in space.
No, who's the first person in space? Was it a man? Yes.
Well, it was a... It was a monkey. It was a dog as well.
It was not a person.
It was a woman dog.
Who's the first person on the moon? Was it a man? Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah. And who put a first thing into orbit? The Russians.
They're
men.
Not women.
They're men.
They're all men.
Yeah.
It's astronaut, not...
Astro-woman.
Astro-woman. It's cosmonaut, not woman-naut.
You know what? Let's get onto the interview and let's just do it as men. Let's not.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't want to have to keep this fucking charade. It's just going to be... The listeners don't want that.
So hopefully, you know, the guys responsible or the people responsible.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
For Doctor Who.
Guy from Broadchurch.
Yeah, well, hopefully they'll be listening and they'll, you know, learn that it doesn't work.
He's playing a joke.
He must be.
I'll make all the
Do you think the joke's on us because we took it seriously?
I'll make the people, all the people that play Doctor Who are Broadchurch now, even right. A woman that's done it now. And it's like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't get the joke.
All right, guys, join us after the break for Jake Lambert.
Fucking hell. Welcome back to the Talking Movies, Pictures and Movies show. We're here with our guest, Jake Lambert.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very good, thanks. Have you done this podcast before?
Once or twice.
A few times.
Yeah, you're good.
Slick. You just listened to the intro, did you, from before the music? And
I was just on the sofa, chilling out. Yeah.
Do you like it? What was your favourite bit?
I liked the bit when you didn't know what you were saying and he had to prod you.
Yes. That's
classic.
That's a recurring segment.
It's great. Nice little callback. We did it that many times. In half an hour, but
I think it stops being funny and then starts being funny again. It's right. Like a sort of Stuart Lee kind of cool.
Yeah, it's hard to tell without an audience here, though, isn't it?
Well, you were there and you were cracking up from what I remember.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't from what I was reading.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it was because of what you were saying.
The Beano is funny.
It is very funny.
Still.
Walter.
Such a nerd.
Softy. I'd bully him. Jake, obviously you're here to talk about your latest movie.
Sorry, yes.
Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Pleasure to have you here.
We don't have a lot of directors on.
No, that's true.
Okay.
Which is even better because we have even less of what you are, which is actor-director.
Director-actor, thank you. That's fine, it's okay.
What's the difference? Can you explain that for our listeners?
Yeah.
Is it the order of the words?
Well, if I acted then directed, I'd be rubbish at doing my job. But if I direct myself and then go and act it out, I'm very much doing my job, both of them.
So you direct yourself first, then act what you've directed out.
What I've just told myself to go and do.
So why are there so many other people that call themselves, like Ben Affleck calls himself an actor-director? Is that because he forgets to direct?
He'll act
first, ask questions later.
Yeah, and then he'll go, can I watch that back? And he'll go, oh, no, I've definitely got to take my hands out of my pockets. Yeah. And I'm gonna open my eyes in this scene because otherwise it looks weird.
It never gets
that
the first
I'm driving
take.
With my eyes closed. And so it's some of the mistakes like that that I wouldn't make. Because I'd go, right, I'm driving a car, so I'm going to have both hands on the wheel at 10 to 2.
Okay.
And I'm going to have my eyes open.
Which is how you do it.
If you have your hands at 10 to 2, but then if you moved it to 10 to 3, would you be late?
That's a very good question.
You're driving slower.
And a terrible question at the same time. But I like it.
Yeah.
So if I arrived at 10 to 3...
Can you just direct Andy asking that question? If you could just like tell him how he could do it better and
I'd
then
like
get
that.
To ask the question again and just show us a bit of the way that you know...
Okay.
Because I know it doesn't seem like it, but our podcast doesn't have a director, even though it's a movies podcast, you think it would. So we could do with a few tips. I know.
We have a writer.
Yeah.
This is all scripted.
This is all scripted. So first of all, hands out your pants.
Oh. Really?
Yeah.
I've never done that
before.
I don't think it comes across.
I was able to tell him, but I'm glad that you come here.
Yeah.
Because it's a recurring problem.
I don't think it comes across negatively on the recording.
It comes across creepily and I can smell it.
Hands out your pants. Tim, stop doing the wanker sign and sort of sticking your middle finger up at me. Because it's just making me feel tense.
Look, it's just,
and we'll try again.
It's a nervous tick. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
but right. Again, that doesn't come across on the recording. So this is why the listeners might be surprised.
I didn't ask you to direct me, Jake. I asked you to direct Andy.
As a director, I will direct everybody. Which sometimes annoys people on set because the chefs for catering are wondering why on earth I'm telling him how to serve the beans.
Yeah, that's fair.
Don't pour. Obviously, use a ladle. But anyway.
And then do you direct the props guy to get a ladle for the chef?
It's not a prop. That's the real deal.
Instrument of
and if culinary... it was a prop, I'd have to claim it back on tax. I'm not doing that.
So a prop ladle isn't a real ladle. What's it made out of? Like foam?
Beans just fall through, don't they?
Yeah, the beans just fall straight through it.
It's invisible.
Sometimes it's CGI'd.
Ah.
If you can't find a ladle.
That's why it looks so realistic.
We'll get the nerds to do it after.
Bloody nerds.
And they do it.
Yeah. And then everyone has lovely soup for lunch.
Sometimes. Sometimes it's like Peter Pan, and that's faked as well. Depends what the budget is.
You can get it in the bowl without a ladle, I mean.
What was the budget on your movie?
Ooh, we aimed to do it for 1.2 million.
And you did it
for... That was your budget?
That was what we aimed for, 1.2 million. Yes.
Right, and how did you...
Well, it turns out that CGI ladles and CGI...
beans?
The beans was more expensive than you'd realise.
Right.
So we ended up.
Well, because you filmed obviously the bath of beans, that scene where your character is doing the whole charity thing.
Well, yeah.
That's, I mean, there were real beans or CGI beans?
One tin of real beans.
A reference.
And then it just, yeah, so the nerd knew what he was doing and he just multiplied it loads. Yeah.
Was it good quality beans or like smart price?
Heinz.
Yes. So that's where it eats into the budget.
You might as well go in for the big if you're going to duplicate that because you don't want to duplicate. Even Branston would look weird duplicated.
Oh, no one likes Branston beans.
It's just weird. Who wants a black tin of beans? It's not North Korea.
Exactly.
And that's what I told the caterers when I was directing him. Like, yeah. You can get rid of them as well.
Yeah. Although, obviously, this film was set in North Korea.
Yeah.
Unless I'm mistaken.
Well, yeah, half of it was.
Half of it. The other half was set in...
South Korea.
Of course, that makes sense.
You've seen it?
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, I mean, I was late to the press screening, and I saw the half that was in North Korea.
North Korea, yeah.
And this has happened before.
Happened with Jenny Collier's film, where I saw the second half only, and Andy only saw the first half of the film.
Did you see all of it this time?
I saw all of it this
time. Right, okay.
Yeah. I did see all of it. Andy only saw the second half, which is obviously the North Korea
North
half.
Korea.
So you saw the... beans in the bath scene.
I did, yes. And I wondered why the beans, it wasn't a tin of black beans, because I was like, we're in North Korea now. So right. did you smuggle them in? Right, from South Korea.
Yeah.
Okay,
I had
that
to choose
sense.
Between that or the gun. Mm.
Ah, so in this film that is set in both South Korea and North Korea.
You sound like that's an obscure idea. Usually, most films will have different settings.
You've seen the
I'm not saying it's an obscure idea, right. I'm saying it's an original idea.
Okay.
Because that's why
for himself,
I exist.
More than anyone, because he's only seen the second
one. Yeah, I'm still just kind of like bedding myself into the concept.
So you think before this, you thought the entire thing was set in North Korea?
Well, I've never seen a movie that's set in two different countries before.
Right.
I wasn't sure they existed. I wasn't sure they were legal.
Mm-hmm.
Was it shot in North Korea or was it just set?
No, the entire thing was shot in Somerset.
Well, you've done well. I mean, it looked like... Because one of the main things is like, the way you can tell it's North Korea is when you first get through the border, at the bottom of the screen, in white writing, it says North Korea.
It comes up as well. It goes, there's sort of music that goes... like it's being typed out and then it disappears.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, so he is in North Korea.
That was actually put in post.
Oh, so that wasn't really like at the bottom of my eyes.
That's not really there.
No.
That
doesn't happen when you go into North Korea. It doesn't just sort of appear.
It doesn't come up at all. So I had no idea because luckily the editor was in that day because I got some white paper and a stand-out. I started cutting it out to put on the bottom of the camera.
Right, because you were like, well, they're going to need to know that it's North Korea.
And I was going to put them on and then peel them all off again really quickly
and do the noise. Yeah.
But he said that he can do all of that.
One of the nerds.
Yeah. Annoyingly, because obviously my way would have been a lot cheaper and probably helped us keep the budget. But annoyingly, as you probably noticed, he spelt North with an F.
That's a shame.
It looked like we're mocking them.
Fourth Korea. Mm. Yeah.
But, I mean, obviously it must have been quite a hard day on set when you had the tin of Heinz, because obviously Heinz is illegal in Somerset as well as North Korea. It's the two places in the world where it's not allowed.
That's what gave us the idea.
Yeah.
That's what smuggling in is real.
Oh, so that was improvised?
Yeah, well, we had to.
The whole beans in the bath was improvised.
We were there that morning going, how do we get them there? And I said, well, actually, this could be a great bit of the film.
Would you get them to North Korea as well? So,
Exactly, yeah. So we actually had to make a hat that was the shape of a bean tin, and we had to wear that.
You got some great comic actors in this film, though. Can you tell us a bit about the supporting cast before we move on to your character?
Yeah, and how you convinced them to do the film.
Yeah, well, of course. Well, obviously, the script was more than enough. Dean Gaffney was more than happy. He'd just seen The Danish Girl, so Revelation. He said, I'm up for doing that.
Cross-dressing.
So so he did that, and he was great at it.
Yeah.
And he's very kind of like specific with his acting decisions as well. He doesn't like to do a lot.
He won't do a scene without Wellard.
Ah, so obviously that dog must be long dead. So how did you, was that CGI as
CGI
well?
CGI dog.
Yeah. But he believed it.
Well, so it was CGI'd on the day.
No, yeah. So he
would believe
he'd watch it back and go, oh, there is a dog there. I'd go, Dean, don't doubt me. And he'd go, call me
keep showing them the
Jessica, because he's really method.
Right. Right.
Sorry, Jessica, that's absolutely fine. So Wellard is there. And he'd go, I'm so sorry for ever doubting you.
Did you then take Wellard out again for the final cut?
So I don't understand what you mean.
So when you CGI'd Wellard in, just so that he would understand that the dog was there, so he'd do the scenes, did you then remove the dog from the actual final release, the cinema release, the CGI?
I can't understand the question here, I'm sorry. I can't tell if you're an idiot or I am. And it's definitely not me.
I don't understand either, so I think you're both idiots.
So Dean Gaffney's actually pulling a brick.
Right, but like, he treats it like a dog, and he is convincing.
Yeah, well, he's blindfolded. He thought he was really there. Then every time I said cut, Dean would come back, take the blindfold off, and go, "Oh, yeah, sorry. It sounded like a brick was being dragged along."
Did he believe it because a brick is the same weight as a dog?
Well, it's exactly the same weight as Wellard.
Yeah,
towards the end,
one brick
when he was very ill.
Yeah, because a brick, what is it, like a couple of kilos?
Which is what Wellard was.
Yeah,
famously,
3.7.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's bang on.
So Jessica was obviously your love interest in the movie. Could you tell us a bit about your character?
Yes.
Ah, please do.
Oh, okay, sorry.
That was a two-part question. I forgot the second half.
Yeah, right.
Tim jumped in.
I'm there for you,
good
mate.
Good work.
So can you tell us and then please do?
Yes, I can. Mm-hmm. And so I will.
Good.
Because of, you've all seen Spider-Man.
Which
yes.
one?
One, two, and three, and then one, two, and three, and now one.
Oh, yeah. No,
there was no second three.
Well, you'd think so, but it was made and then never released.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, which was the first film I ever made. None of the original cast were in it from the other lot.
Amazing Spider-Man 3?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Dean Gaffney as Spider-Man.
Ah, and so just off your own back.
I couldn't deal with the upset when he realised it wasn't getting released and that nobody would look at it. So when I made this film...
Now, what did you make him think that Wellard was in that film?
Wellard in that film was God.
God?
Yes.
So he thought that he was like sort of... There was a God swinging around the city with him.
Yeah.
And that was sort of Spider-Man being guided by a kind of...
So yeah, obviously religious messages. He was... as the Spider-Man... We made his Spider-Man outfit. We couldn't really afford it. It's just red tape, so he couldn't see anyway.
Right.
So then this film, we obviously decided they didn't like that. There's another Spider-Man film coming out.
It's out.
It is out now, but when we were making the film, I didn't make the film the last 7 days.
I see.
Is he always like this?
He's aggressive. Okay. He's stupid, right. And he's disgusting. Oh, but so that's why we love him.
You'd love
mostly
Dean.
Like that. Oh, okay.
So we thought, do the film about the spider who bites Peter Parker.
Right.
And
okay, so it's less about the man,
more about the spider.
Right. And does that spider get the powers of a human?
Yeah, he becomes a massive nerd.
Right.
He bites Peter Parker, but we couldn't use the rights, so we had to change. Right. Had to change a lot. So
how did you get the rights for the Spider-Man cameo in this film?
Well, we didn't.
A lot of red tape, I understand.
Well, basically a lot of red tape were used, and we sent them the films. We've said, we've sent some recorded delivery as well, so we've got proof.
Yeah.
And then said, watch this, let me know what you think. And Stan Lee.
What's his surname?
Stan Brakely.
Tucci. Stanley Tucci. Ipkiss from The Mask.
In this film, Flat. We refer to him as Lee Stan.
Lee Stan.
Lee.
Ah, Lee Stanley.
Lee Stan Lee.
Lee Stanbull.
Because he's North Korean.
Right, yeah.
Lee Stan Lee.
That makes sense.
He sent the film back. He didn't use recorded delivery, but I've got proof. And he said, are you effing kidding me? I wouldn't watch this film.
Himself.
Yeah, it was nice of him to say, but apparently he never swears. I wouldn't watch this film if you paid me. So I said, well then...
He doesn't understand how films work then, obviously.
Yeah, well, I said...
You had to pay to watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I said, well, send me my £20 back. And I haven't heard that from him.
So far, we've got the film is set in North Korea and South Korea.
South Korea, then North.
Yeah. Uh-huh. There's a charity bean bath.
Yeah.
And Dean Gaffney and Wellard are in it.
He's playing Jessica.
Wellard is a brick.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say the inciting incident was?
Annoyingly, it's in the first 30 seconds when the spider bites Peter Parker.
Ah. So that's how you got around the copyright issues.
You got it as well.
And it works because he does parkour in a sort of Spider-Man-ish way.
So I think actually they're the ones that missed a trick.
Yeah.
So the spider bites Peter Parker and then becomes a nerd. And then the film is basically no English or American universities will take on the spider nerd.
Yeah.
Right. So he tries to get into...
Sort of like a kind of... like they're not technically allowed...
You're not allowed
education if you're a spider, is what I understand.
UCAS was saying we've never accepted a spider.
Well, he doesn't have enough points, I imagine.
He had nothing. He hadn't done anything. So he was a nerd. But annoyingly, when he bit Peter Parker, he was 23, so he couldn't go to sixth form.
Oh,
he wanted, and he was, but he was so because he had
college.
Annoyingly, we were going to do it at college, but the only college that would let us in was Langley College in Slough. And it's really expensive to film there. So we thought, let's make it university because he's extra smart because he's bit Peter Parker.
And now he's the right age as well.
Yeah. And also you can't do, at college, Langley College doesn't actually do web design, which is what we wanted the spiders to be doing.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah.
Did you not get it when you were in the film?
I don't know that you ever mentioned that was the course name.
Right.
I saw him designing websites. But I was like, okay, that's just his course.
So even when he ran across the keyboard and typed in World Wide Web and then all six of his eyes winked at the camera.
That's weird that he did that because it's normally just the WWW, isn't it? But he did type in World Wide Web.
I didn't think people would get the joke otherwise.
Right.
And that was him just learning because obviously he's smart.
Well, see, in that case, you were right that you need to spell it out for people. How difficult was it to construct the giant keyboard?
That was really hard, and that was very expensive.
Right.
The entire computer. That entire IT room was actually massive. That was two fields in Somerset.
And it was pretty impressive because, correct me, unless this was CGI as well, is as you're doing it, it is all one shot, and it's what the computer seems to be working.
The entire film is one shot.
Of course, but I mean, specifically, this is impressive because you're typing it in on the keyboard, and it's coming up. I mean, did you just make a giant computer?
It was massive.
No, I'm saying, but that was real. That was actually functioning.
Yeah, because I believe, and this is a conspiracy that only I have, I believe that North Korea are using computers of that size.
To what end?
Just to use.
Or is it because they haven't developed the technology to make them small yet?
At like, the minute over there, really everything old. Bigger is better, they think. They don't understand that actually sometimes smaller is better.
Which is why their leader's so fat.
Yeah.
That's He'd be healthier if he was thinner.
Their burgers are the size of what would be like an average donkey.
So to them, are you a human-sized spider in this film? Because then also, in the CGI scenes where you're stood next to Dean Gaffney, do they think he is a giant?
And they might then think that we have giant spiders, and then they might not bomb us. I might have saved Western civilization.
Massive bath of beans. How big do they think the beans are in England?
Or they might just categorise it as a horror film and move on.
Yeah, they might think it was fake.
Well, if you've seen it, you'll know it doesn't look fake.
Oh, no, I'm just saying...
Right, okay.
It's the
You're not mocking the CGI.
No. I mean, I said that I saw the second half. Tim saw all of it. I saw the second half. Yeah. Specifically, I meant I saw the second half of the end credits sequence.
Oh,
that said, okay. Like, North Korea shooting unit
well,
wasn't even shot in North Korea.
Yeah.
You just had that in the credits to make it seem like...
Yeah, so I wanted to make as real as possible. Mm. So that's why halfway through we have the credits, but... And the credits halfway through are just saying that, Man Spider, played by Man Spider.
Right.
Jessica, played by Jessica. So everyone thinks, oh my God, this is a documentary.
Real. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the second half of the movie is an end credit sequence.
Basically, it's, you know, sometimes you watch a film and you're like, oh, is there an end credit sequence or not? I thought if I put it in the middle, they'll know it. There definitely is.
The whole second half of the movie is a post-credit sequence.
It's that, yeah.
So what I saw was essentially a tease for the sequel.
We're not going to make... Because we seem like it's real. And if it was real, there wouldn't be a sequel.
I don't know.
Things don't happen after actual things in the real world.
I consider humans a sequel to the dinosaurs.
Right. Okay. Do you want to explain that?
Well, so dinosaurs were first.
You don't have to.
The end of the dinosaurs movie... was the apocalyptic event.
Yeah.
Meteorite.
You mean the puppet
killed
ones.
Them all off. No, I'm talking about actual real dinosaurs.
The movie?
Well, no, if it was a movie, that would be the end of it.
It was.
Post-credit sequence is just like the boring fallout that everyone leaves during. Because, exactly, nothing's happening. Then humans turn up. That's the sequel.
That is a movie.
Ice Age?
Yeah.
No, I think you're thinking of Ice Age 2.
Yeah, sorry.
Which is a sequel?
To the dinosaurs.
The real-life dinosaurs?
No, the movie.
I haven't seen it.
Okay.
Land Before Time.
No, After Time. After.
Oh, Land Before Time too.
Littlefoot.
Babe, Pig in the City.
Charlotte's Web.
No, but I can see why you'd think that.
No, isn't your movie a sequel to Charlotte's Web?
No, but I say to Jessica, are you any relation to Charlotte? And she says, I would never... grab three axes and chop up someone I'm related to and feed them to a pig. And that's the reference.
I've not seen Charlotte's Web, so...
That's not in it.
Oh, okay.
I've just made up a sequel for Charlotte's Web, which is referenced in our film.
Isn't it a book?
Yeah, read the book, haven't seen the film.
Yeah, you're right, it can't have been a film.
How would you do it? The book is massive. It takes like 3 days to read. Movie isn't 3 days long.
Yeah.
But my film is 2.5 days long.
That's impressive.
Yes.
So lengthwise. You only saw, what, day and a quarter?
If that.
Right, okay.
I mean, it's a brave decision to make a credit sequence that lasts for 4 hours.
The editor came up to me and he said, how do you want to do it to be referenced? And he went, do you want actor, director, director, actor? Told him what I told you. I direct first, act second.
Double threat.
And then he said, is there anything else you want to put? And then I told him how I... told somebody what to wear once, so I got a wardrobe credit. Then because I fired the entire catering team on day 7 of 10, I got a reference for every because I ended up sort of ordering the stock for the food,
right?
So I got all that. So basically there is 4 hour credit sequence and 27 minutes of those are just my name constantly.
Can I ask you about the shooting schedule a second? You say it took 10 days to shoot.
10 days to shoot.
It's 2.5 hours long. 2.5 days long.
One consistent shot.
So how does that work mathematically?
Yes, one shot of 2.5 days.
So before that was a complete audition. Go again. Rehearsal, 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 rehearsal.
Right.
Ready for the main thing.
Right. So that's... Okay. And you consider that to be the shooting schedule is the rehearsal? Or were you just kept fucking it up?
No. We just said, right, we'll go again. And they said... They all laughed after the first one said...
Because they thought you were shooting it.
Yeah. Okay. They said, I said, there's nobody could afford that much film. And they said, you're not filming it digitally. I said, no, because that looks weird.
Shit.
Yeah. And then, so we did it on actual film.
Yeah. Good.
So,
no, I noticed that. Yeah.
So I said, I'm not wasting that much film. And then we went again. And then this time I got some fake film that was rolling through. So they thought we were shooting. The only person that didn't understand what was going on was Dean Gaffney.
Yeah.
Because he didn't understand how any of it worked.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Why would he?
When the entirety of the time that he was on EastEnders, he didn't realise it was being recorded.
He was just playing with his dog.
That's right. Yes. Yeah, they built the entire series from when he was in it just around him.
And just editing in people calling him Robbie. There. And,
yeah. He lived there, and so he went mad for years after when he finally found out.
Yeah. It's like, it's like he was on the Truman Show. Yeah. Clang.
Yeah, that must be terrifying. Yeah. So he thought that, did he think this was real as well? Or?
He still thinks, well, he's blindfolded the entire time, but he still thinks he's been to, if you ask him, he will tell you that North Korea.
That you were a spider?
He's now seen the film.
Oh, and how has he taken it?
He thinks it's amazing, and he can't believe how much. He went, I think on Sunday, he went with his family to Somerset, called me up and said, you wouldn't believe how much this place smells like North Korea.
That is incredible.
Did he watch the whole thing in one sitting?
Yes. Well, they all had to.
Wow.
Otherwise they wouldn't get
their
paycheck.
Were they allowed to have toilet break?
If you get up, you'd miss it.
There were toilet breaks.
Oh, okay, that's fine. So even though it is shot in one consistent shot, you had to stop the movie to have the toilet breaks.
Some of the characters actually like there. That's part of the sometimes scene, them just going
that
for a
scene
piss.
When Jessica's on the toilet
shitting into the bath
wasn't supposed to be, because obviously I'm still in there with the beans,
right.
But he'd eaten too many tins of beans without us knowing,
so
which is
desperate.
Why we had to use only the one to be duplicated, because it was a four pack.
And that's expensive.
Yeah, quite. And then we only had one left. I just chastised him. He got ill, which is how we found out. He tried to blame it on Wellard, but we all knew that Wellard was a brick. And then he shat in the vat.
That's great. Okay, good. So who? Any other sort of maybe cameos or people that I wouldn't have noticed in the...
Brendan Fraser.
It's good to see him acting again.
Yeah, he was the ice cream. He drove the ice cream van.
Oh, I think he was the ice cream for a second. Okay.
Who played the ice cream?
Gary Neville.
Oh, wow. And the flake?
In his first acting role?
First acting role. He's trying to be like Vinnie Jones, and then he's David Beckham.
Who was the flake?
Phil Neville.
That makes sense, yeah.
And the cone.
Neville. Everyone knows.
So Phil is obviously in a lot of trouble for the blacking up for the flake, but we've obviously said that otherwise
he's not black to be a black guy.
Exactly. Yeah. Have you ever seen a white flake in an ice cream?
I mean, that would be whitewashing.
Exactly.
Do you think that he should have worn the afro still, or was that?
I did wonder that. That and the doobie was weird.
Yeah, and the gold chains.
I don't know why he ran.
The wrapping. Yeah. The wrapping 99 was. Yeah, it was an interesting choice.
99 really? Problems, but a cone ain't one.
And who was the guest rapper on that?
Lazy.
And as I understand it was the Neville brothers that introduced you to Lazy.
Yes.
How did they get so ingrained in the underground grime scene?
Jamie Carragher.
Ah, because he's out having it every fucking night.
Yeah, well, not every night, because he does Monday Night Football.
Ah.
So he refuses to touch alcohol on a Sunday or a Monday.
I mean, there's no good grime nights on Sunday and Monday. We all know that.
Well, yeah, but actually, you may know that, but you don't know why. It's because Jamie Carragher wasn't turning up. So now they run Tuesday through till Saturday.
Because people go because they know he's a tastemaker.
Yeah.
So if he's there, people are there. If he's not there,
exactly,
don't even bother.
Brendan Fraser, he obviously looks pretty different in his role as the ice cream man.
Yeah, well, you only ever see him in the reflection of the wing mirror. Even at that point, he's got his head in his hands.
A sort of Christian Bale machinist kind of body transformation in a lot of ways.
But the other way, was to make him look like he definitely did deliver ice creams.
I mean, Christian Bale, after he finished filming The Machinist.
Right,
what he put back on to play Batman.
Mm.
Yeah.
Basically, that's what Brendan Fraser has done.
All fat, not muscle, yeah.
Which is why there's only one ice cream in the film, because Brendan Fraser spent the first 3 days of the rehearsals, he spent eating ice cream.
To get in shape.
So actually, when we met him, he looked very much like Christian Bale in The Machinist.
I see.
But he put on that weight, and so he's got his head in his hands.
That's why you have to shoot him in the wing mirror, because otherwise it would be too obvious. Were you worried that he was going to get his hands on the last tin of beans? Is that ever a concern?
No, because we put it in the safe.
Ah.
Because of old gaffers.
Foresight.
Yeah.
Yeah, once you've seen all the ice creams are gone, you're like, save the beans.
I'm not doing that again. And that's why we were going to use an actual flake.
Yeah.
And then it had been eaten. And so we got Phil Neverlin, who was just there to visit Gary on the day.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He'd literally just got back from a mad one with Cara.
Ah.
Yeah, they'd been to see Stormzy.
So he full must
grime,
have been...
Full of grime in his head.
Yeah. And he went, I've got an idea.
Was he still tripping?
Do you ever see him play football?
that's what people tune in for.
Yeah, they want football jokes. Now, the sex scene was particularly of interest to me in terms of the logistics of that, because obviously your character is smaller, actually, than Dean Gaffney's character's genitals.
Yes.
So the kind of... the... Well, I mean, you know, speak about that if you could.
Yeah, no worries. So, Dean Gaffney, obviously, which Petter have obviously got involved in because they don't like the idea of the blindfolded woman making love to the spider. But what we did is the spider lied there. They wanted to get it on. So the spider, uses my web design, and I create a web that looks website. Like a... an actual web that looks like a woman.
Oh, because they both mean... Yeah.
And then he makes love to a web woman.
He makes love to a web woman?
He makes... So it's a web woman because he likes women. I am in love with Jessica, but I don't fancy her because she's a woman and I'm a spider. And he's in love with me but doesn't fancy me because he likes women and I'm a spider. He likes men and I'm a spider. So I create a web woman for him.
He likes men?
Yeah, and he gets the ping pong ball and the lead piping. And then I have it away with that. There was going to be a scene when I walked in on Jessica
with
having it away with the ping pong ball with the lead pipe in.
Right.
And I go, you do fancy spiders, you just don't fancy me.
Oh, but, no.
But in the end, we didn't have to run out of film.
Sure, and I guess it's pretty difficult to get him to do that if he doesn't understand.
Well, he was blindfolded, we get him to do anything.
Oh, I see. Just tell him it's something else.
Yeah.
Did he think it was a real woman instead of a woman made of web?
Yep.
Yeah?
Yeah, and he later tweeted about it. Just had hashtag intercourse.
Ah.
2 likes, 7 retweets, which is his most, he said.
That's good.
Well, I retweeted it. Was
that trending, that hashtag?
No. It's 7 retweets, 2 likes.
But the hashtag?
Hashtag intercourse was, but that was just because of all the players around the world.
On Twitter,
on social media.
Yeah, I mean, that's how you know.
Football players.
Some of them.
Carragher.
Carragher, probably. If you look through Carragher's timeline, it's constantly hashtag intercourse, intercourse.
Every tweet.
Right. Okay.
Not anything else either. Just every time he has sex, he just puts hashtag intercourse online.
Yeah, or if he walks, if he's going to play golf, he'll just put hashtag intercourse and just let you know that he's there.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Okay. What about when he's at a restaurant and he's just having a 3-course meal and he's in between the appetizer and the main?
It's a good point.
Does he do it then?
I presume so, but I've never known that.
No, because is
he playing golf?
Can we call him up?
What day is it?
It's a Sunday.
It's a Sunday.
He won't, no.
He won't pick up.
No point. He won't be drinking. He'll be sleeping
sleeps
it off.
Sleeps all day. Yeah.
For Monday night football, even though it's not even the season.
Yeah. Well, even if we called him on a Tuesday, he'd be in the club, so he wouldn't answer anyway.
You can literally never call Cara.
You just got to reply to the intercourse tweet and go, was that, are you at a restaurant?
Please clarify.
Are you on the golf course or are you fucking?
Right, yeah. Kim Jong-un.
Sometimes all three. Of Cara.
Eating dinner on fucking on a golf course.
Yeah.
Okay, I've got a game. You obviously know what the game is, Andy. We've played it many times before.
No, it's not on air before. We just play this.
We just play this ourselves. Yeah. We'll alternate asking questions.
What, and do I answer them?
You're going to answer the questions that we ask.
As me or as the spider?
As Wellard.
The brick or the actual Wellard?
The actual Wellard, but as he is now.
Yes.
So dead. So the game is called Tom Cruise. We'll ask a question in turn, each of us, me and Andy, take it in turns.
Right, okay, cool.
Okay, so first question. Name the actor who has starred in all of the Mission Impossible films. It's a difficult one to start with. Maybe it's a bit unfair. I don't know if that's...
I can't think of the names.
No. Do you want a hint?
No. Okay. A. Andrew B. Barry C. Christie.
He's going through the alphabet of names.
Tom Cruise.
No.
Oh, I'm afraid. Because you mentioned Tom Cruise, it was in my head.
Yeah. Did mention him?
It was actually it was actually Ving Rhames.
Okay, yeah, that's
a good guess. It was a good guess.
Yeah.
Andy?
Name the most famous Scientologist.
Stephen Hawkins. He's got to be one of the most famous scientists I've ever heard.
Well, it's close.
Now, has he misheard the question?
Oh, go on.
I said Scientologist.
Stephen Hawkins is one of the most famous scientists I've ever heard of.
I said it again, and I think maybe you're mishearing, because what Andy is saying is Scientologist, and you're saying
Stephen
scientist.
Hawkins. Probably the most famous
what was the
I've
answer,
heard
Andy?
Of.
It was...
you also pronounced it
no,
wrong.
It was Tom Cruise.
Yeah. Tom Cruise.
Oh! Yeah. Oh, wait, what were you saying? Famous...
Scientologist, the religion.
Stephen Hawkins.
Fill in the blank.
Who's that?
Look, it's an instruction.
Stephen Hawkins.
Complete the phrase. Blank. Cruise.
Luxury.
No.
Late night.
No, it's the name of a person.
Oh, Penelope.
Correct, it was Penelope Cruise.
Yes.
Very good.
All right,
obviously, that's because she and her, Tom Cruise were in a relationship
exactly.
for a while, so that's why.
She kept the name.
I've got one more. It's another fill in the blank. Fill in the blank. Speed 2.
Stephen Hawkins.
Hang on.
It's very slow.
Speed 2.
He blank, can't go too far.
Blank. Cruise control. No.
Sorry.
Let me ask my question. Speed 2.
Yes.
Blank.
Yes.
Cruise control.
Tom.
No, it was colon.
Colon control is what Dean Gaffney didn't have in that bath scene.
Oh, back there to the film. Yeah.
I just want to keep, my juice's in my ear saying, reference the film.
Right, sorry, yeah, of course.
Yeah, we get this sometimes.
All right, that's Tom Cruise.
That's
so
Tom Cruise.
Playing that. Awesome.
Did I win?
You got one question, right? So you don't win. We win.
Right, well done, guys.
Thanks very
Thank
much.
Thank you. What do we win?
Yeah, what do we win, Jake?
You 2 free tickets to go and see the film.
I've already seen it. Great. All right. Well, we've nearly reached the end of the podcast, Jake.
Yes.
Now we did discuss the theme song to the movie.
Yes.
Being not in our problems, but a Kone 8-1.
Uh-huh.
Is that the only theme, or is there another one that we played through the credits? There was a couple of songs in the credits.
Well, yeah, the credits were so long there was the entire
because there was a rap and there was a normal song
might,
you know, sound like it was a lot easier to sing for whoever was singing it.
Yeah, and then there was the entire album Maroon 5, Songs About Jane by Maroon 5.
Yeah, that was strange, but yeah, I enjoyed that. If you could just sort of give us a rendition of one of the songs perhaps.
Well, now
yeah, it's just been sick, so
that's okay.
Yeah, the original song that you recorded for the movie,
right?
Sorry, what was the movie called again?
Well, about the well, obviously because it's about him trying to like get a job and everything in web design,
mm-hmm.
and he's obviously half man, half spider. Career path,
and that's spelled C A
K O.
Yep.
R
double E R. Or was that a misspelling in the title?
Yeah, sequence? And then P A R F. Annoyingly, yeah.
Okay, great. And so, what? So is the song? Was obviously sung by you. We recognise the voice in the
comments. Oh, thank you very much. Very, cheers, yeah.
Well, I haven't said it was good. I just said I recognise the voice.
Thanks for recognising the voice.
Yeah. Did you think you could give us a little rendition of that now just to close out the episode?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Sorry, just again, the confusion. Please do.
Right, okay, sorry, yeah. He's as bad as Vader, I'm talking about Darth. He's cold as ice, so make sure you wear a scarf. He's very serious, so make sure you don't laugh. He's sitting in beans, he's in a bath. He's a web designer. This is his career path. His career path. He'll serve you an ice cream to make sure you lick. He thinks it's Wellard, it's actually a brick. Ignore Ant and Dec, because they're hiding a dick. It's his career path. I've searched far, far and wider, but I cannot get inside her. She's a spider. But I'm in love with a male spider who has seven legs. It's his career path. It's his career path. It's his career path. It's his career path. It's his career path.
All right, guys,
welcome back.
Welcome back to Listener Questions.
Thanks, Jake Lambert. Thanks. Off he goes there. Bye.
Yep. So I've got a couple of great questions this week. I actually pre-selected them from the bag.
Because
it was so full.
Can I have a look anyway?
It was, yep, all right.
Shit. Oh, God, all right. Are you okay?
But I've picked a couple, so I'll start. This one is directed directly to you.
Yep.
It's from Kathleen. From Hertfordshire. She is 14. And she said, Tim, I was reading the movie
section. Things, watch things.
Well, she said, I was reading the movie section of Reuters today. Movies and TV section of Reuters today. And I see that Doctor Who is a woman. Do you think this might affect movies in either a positive or negative way? Your thoughts, please.
Is she not...
All right, okay. I'll address this. Kathleen, if you could listen to the podcast...
If you could fucking rewind, Kathleen, to the start of the podcast...
If you could just listen
to... Because where you are now in it, where you've given us the question, is obviously she listened to Jake Lambert, not really listened to the intro. She maybe skipped through, then sent the question in. That's how it's here now.
If you could just listen to the podcast before you write in, guys, that would help us a lot with our admin.
Jesus Christ.
I pulled this out thinking it was... I got as far as Kathleen, Hertfordshire 14, thought it was a good question,
yeah,
and put it in, and now I look like a fucking
she's
idiot.
14.
All right, have you got any?
I'm scared to now, because it's going to be that sort of nonsense. Okay, yeah, hold on. Here's one, okay. This is from Michael Johnson, and he's from Manchester. So he says... I'll read it out, but we're going to end up having the same problem. He says, any recent deaths in the movie world?
Oh, look, Michael, all right, Michael, let me address this one. Michael,
yeah, actually,
what
Michael.
You need to do is take your question, screw it up, throw it in the nearest bin, and then rewind the podcast and listen from the beginning, because you
Martin
would have heard
Landau
Martin, 89. He was still teaching acting. How could you...
Christ.
Just pay attention. I know this is a very popular section, which is why we had to move it to the end of the podcast. But guys, you can't just fast forward straight to the end. You've got to listen to the rest of it.
Yeah, I know. That some people go, oh, I don't want to listen to the interview. I just want to listen to the two guys talking and listener questions.
Absolute
but
bollocks.
You have to pay attention, because it is all a very... You know, it's a very finely tuned machine, and if you just look at one cog in the machine, you don't know how the sausage is made.
Yeah.
You look at the cog and you go, oh, it's one thing, and then you take that out and it all falls apart.
Yeah. All right, well, I've got one more
here.
This one's from Thomas. He is 39 from Basingstoke. He asks, what is your favourite movie adaptation? And, we've actually run out of tape. I'm going to have to... Stop
okay. Well, can I tell you why we've run out of tape?
wasted our fucking time.
Because we wasted our fucking time. And we've been pretending to be women for too long. All right. So,
guys, work harder on the listener questions next time, please.
Why did you have that annotation, though?
Oh, it's Charlotte's Web.
And we've run out of tape, but I'm just going to think about it.
Careful, it's going.
No, it's fine. Mine is probably...
Do you want me to put some more tape in?
No.
While you think about it?
No. Mine is...
All right, that's all for listener questions this week. See ya!
Bye!
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.